Good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's morning service. Good to see you. Also greeting everyone on the live stream. Let's take some time for prayer first. Father, we thank you for being here. We thank you for your presence through your Holy Spirit. We thank you for being our Father, for being our Creator. Thank you, Father, for dearly loving us, and thank you for your word that is timeless and that is powerful. And I ask in Jesus' name that you would use me this morning, and that you would teach us your word, that you would open our hearts and open our ears so that we would hear your word, that we would listen to your word, that we would understand your word, and that we would put it into practice more and more. In Jesus' name, and to the glory of Jesus, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah, so I invite you to open your Bibles in 1 Peter. So in the New Testament, 1 Peter. And apparently also this morning, the topic is hope. Not very surprisingly. yeah, so let us get started with 1 Peter. And I'm going to read one verse from chapter 1. So 1 Peter 1, verse 3. And there we read, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." I will read this again. So the second part of that verse. "In his great mercy, he," so the Father, God the Father, "he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Hallelujah. And I'm so glad that it was, you know, the Father's mercy who initiated this, or which initiated this. Our Father in heaven, he's merciful. He has mercy on us. And he knew that, you know, without a new birth, we would be lost forever. And he made a way. Apparently through Jesus Christ, and he gave us new birth into a living hope. So he wanted us to have hope, and he knew that in order to have a living hope, a real hope, a hope that lasts until eternity, something very special and something very important would have to happen. And this is why in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into this living hope that he wanted to give us. And the point is, it had to be through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So this is very profound, of course, because it really tells us that it costed everything for the Father, namely to basically give his son, Jesus Christ, so that we would be given new birth into a living hope. So, and all this was based on his mercy. So he was merciful. He had mercy on us, and he gave us new birth into a living hope. So the Father has given us new hope, and he has given us a living hope, a real hope, the only hope that is based on Jesus Christ. Now let us go to the second verse. So apparently the Father has given us a living hope, which we will be thankful for all of our lives, and also when being with him in eternity. But there's more to this living hope, much more. Of course, we will only touch a couple aspects this morning. But yeah, so let us turn now our Bibles to the book of Romans. Book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 13. Also a very well-known verse, and which has been cited multiple times this year already. So Romans 15, verse 13. There we read, "May the God of hope," and this already is important, he's the God of hope, so he's the source of our hope. And this, apparently, of course, fits very well to the verse that I was reading before from 1 Peter. Our God is the source of hope. So may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the point here is that he has not only given us a living hope, which already is, you know, so important and so profound, and something that should us, you know, so that we should be thankful for every single day of our lives. But he actually wants us to overflow with this hope. And this is even more than just receiving a living hope, but he wants to actually make us overflowing with this living hope. And what does that result in? I mean, if you receive hope and it's so much that you actually overflow, apparently this hope will reach out to your surroundings. It will reach out to people which you're connected to. And this is exactly what God wants this living hope within us to do. So to really increase more and more so that it actually overflows and then will actually touch the lives around the people, will touch the lives of the people around us. And then this, of course, also important. It does not just happen somehow, but the last part of the verse tells us it is supposed to be happening by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So let us read this again. May the God of hope, so our God is the source of hope, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope, so that you may overflow with this living hope that the Lord has given us in his great mercy. And how? By the power of the Holy Spirit. And this reminded me of another verse, which I think is also quite well known. So let us turn our Bibles now to Acts, the book of Acts, in the very beginning. This is chapter 1, verse 8. And this was right before Jesus ascended to heaven, after he had been resurrected from the dead, and he's talking to his disciples. This is the very last sentences he's talking to them. And then he says, let us start in verse 7. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority." Now verse 8, "But you will receive power," how? Or when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And as a result, this is what I'm saying, as a result, and now comes the second part of the verse, "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So it starts out with the mercy of the Father, who has mercy on us, who is merciful, who has given us a new birth into a living hope. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now he wants this living hope that we received when we gave our lives to Jesus to be overflowing, so that it actually will touch the people being around us and that we are connected to. And, you know, these may be relatives, these may be friends, these may be colleagues at work. And this is supposed to be happening through the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And this basically is also what is contained in this verse in Acts 1:8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And as a result," and it's a promise, "you will be my witnesses." This is something that will consequently happen. So the more we will increase in this living hope within us, at some point it will start overflowing. This is a natural consequence. And as a natural consequence, it will reach out to the people around us. And this, of course, makes us being witnesses to those people. And I believe this is basically the key for this morning. So, you know, we are close to Christmas. And we, of course, celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, of course, we are always called to reach out to people and to, you know, make them acquainted or make them known to the Lord Jesus. But this is a very special time in the year, where I believe that, you know, the hearts of people, they are more open than they are usually, and so we are called to share this hope. We are called to share this living hope that we've been receiving, and this is basically the message for this morning: share your hope. I don't know how you feel about this. Maybe this is something what you're anyway doing every day. Hallelujah! Keep going, keep going. You know, just continue doing that. But you know, it may also be something rather challenging for you. And I really want to encourage you this morning to share this hope. And you know, you can start out very unspectacular, let's say. And it's a couple of years ago, and it was actually I think in a morning service in that church. And I was quite frustrated with myself, you know, being a witness to others. And I thought, well, you know, I'm just a loser. And then the Lord came to me with a particular verse in the book of Job. I will not turn to this now, but it's if you want to read it, it's in Job 8, verse 7. And there, basically, the Word of God tells us, "Your beginnings may seem humble, but so prosperous will be your future." You know, so I really want to encourage you to take these maybe just tiny steps toward people around you. And often it actually starts with praying for them. This is how it often actually is with me. So it's something that some person that the Lord chose me, and then, you know, I start praying for that person. And it may take time until you have the possibility to be a witness and, to talk to this person about Jesus. And, you know, we just had this very wonderful service on December 2nd, so like 2.5 weeks ago, you know, which just preceded the first Advent when we came here together. And, many of us had invited people who didn't know Jesus yet. And I really want to encourage you to follow up on this. I'm not sure whether, you know, those that, you invited to come to that service right before the first Advent. But even if they haven't come, you know, don't be discouraged, but keep praying for them. And maybe they actually came and, you know, maybe they haven't yet received the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be discouraged. You know, follow up on this and keep praying for these people. And, everybody who was invited, everybody who came here, every single person is important. And so I want to encourage you to continue to share your hope that you have been receiving from the Father, this living hope through Jesus Christ. And I think another point which is important, and this is at least my experience, you know, unite in prayer with like a brother or a sister, or maybe even several brothers or sisters. Come together regularly and unite in prayer and pray for those who don't know the Lord yet. And I remember one example from my own life. It's already some time ago. And it was a time when I was regularly meeting with a brother from this church here. And we were working rather closely, basically on the same campus. And you know, for us, it was pretty easy to meet at around lunchtime. So we met regularly, and usually once a week. And then we had like a walk over the campus. And then we were praying for the campus, and we were praying for people and to get opportunities to talk to people about the Lord. And we did this, and you know, as a result, I had the opportunity to talk to an intern who joined basically our work for a couple of weeks. And this was the most profound opportunity I had to really share the gospel with someone. And I could really tell him everything. It was like really, I think it was really the full gospel. I mean, he listened, and he was open. He was interested. He was asking, actually. You know, I didn't have to say, well, you know, have you ever heard about the Lord Jesus? But he was asking me, what are you doing on weekends? And then, you know, I started telling him a little bit. And then he kept asking. And then, you know, there was an open door. I don't know what he thought about me. Maybe he thought, you know, this guy is crazy. But apparently he was asking. And he was listening. And I really strongly believe that really happened, because with this brother, you know, we regularly met and we united in prayer and prayed for people. And I mean, this is a biblical principle. And, just want to remind every one of us of that also famous verse that we find in Matthew 18, verse 19. And there Jesus says himself, again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Okay? And of course, that requires that you ask for something that is according to the will of God, that fits to the word of God, and that is not opposed to the word of God. But of course, if you ask the Lord to touch people, and so that they can really get to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they have the opportunity to give their lives to Jesus, then this is apparently something that is not opposed to the word of God, but it's according to the word of God. It's clearly the will of God. And the word of God tells us that if two on earth, it just needs two, it just needs one brother or one sister. Of course, it can be more, but you know, already if you just unite with one brother or sister in prayer and you ask the Lord to give you opportunities to reach out to people, he will listen to this prayer, and it will happen. We don't know when it will happen and how it will happen, but it will happen. It will happen. And I wanna basically finish by a couple more verses, also from the Gospel of Matthew. But now let us turn to chapter 9, Matthew 9, verses 35 to 38. Matthew 9, 35 to 38. And there we read, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Now, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. And why? Because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And this is something that I want to experience more and more myself. I want to see people, and I really want to see them with spiritual eyes, and I want to have compassion on them. You know, of course, it's totally fine, and it's good to reach out to people because you simply know the Lord actually calls you to do this. So basically, out of obedience to the Lord, this is also important, and this has also its place. But, you know, if we look into the Word of God and if we look into Jesus' life, then we actually see he not only did it because he wanted to obey the Father and he wanted to do the will of God, but he had compassion on them. He cared about people. And this is something that I want to really grow in much more. I want to really dearly and seriously and honestly care about people. You know, I want to reach out to them because I care for them and they are important to me. This is something I want to grow in. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then verse 37, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. So there is many, many, many people, apparently, who are waiting for the church to reach out and to tell them about Jesus. And I have to tell this myself a lot. But apparently the harvest is plentiful. There's many, many, many people. You know, it may appear that they don't want to hear about Jesus, but many more actually want to hear about him, I believe, than we think, or than I often think. So then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And maybe this is, you know, particularly during these days, right before Christmas, maybe this is particularly, or not maybe, it is particularly important. It is particularly important that we, as workers, that we get ready for the harvest, and that we ask the Lord to, you know, to release even more workers into the harvest field. And so, yeah, I wanna encourage you and myself also this morning, so that we really share this hope, that we share this living hope that the Father has given us. You know, that we ask the Lord that he will make this living hope within us be overflowing, so that as a natural consequence, it will you know, reach out to people, because we will be overflowing. I mean, it's a rather easy image to imagine, I think. You know, you're being filled, you know, by the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and then at some point there's so much hope in you that, you know, it will just overflow. It will reach out to people, and then you will be a witness, apparently. So let us ask the Lord that, you know, that this living hope will be overflowing within us, and that, you know, that we would grow in compassion for people, that we would really dearly and honestly care for them. And you know, also ask the Lord, let us ask the Lord that we decide to really, you know, regularly come together with brothers and sisters and really unite in prayer for this. This is on the heart of the Lord, very much. It's one of those things which is most important to the Lord, apparently. This is why he has given his son Jesus. And yeah, so let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is timeless, that your word is powerful, and that even if the heavens and the earth will pass away, your word will never pass away, and it will always be true. And we know, based on your word, that we are called to reach out to people, that we are called to reach out to those who don't know you yet, Jesus, that we are called to reach out to those who are walking in darkness, who are lost right now, and who would be separated from your presence in eternity, and that this would be most painful. And Father, I really ask first for forgiveness. For us, and in particular also in my own life, Father, please forgive us where we have not been courageous, where we have not been obeying your word, Father. I really pray that you would transform our hearts. I pray that we would have compassion on people, that we would dearly and seriously care for people because we love them and because we really see that they are helpless, that we really see that they are harassed, that we would be really moved and that we would have compassion on them and to reach out to them. And I really pray that that the living hope that you have already given us, and we thank you, Lord, for this living hope within us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But Father, would you let this living hope within us increase, and would you fill us with your living hope by the power of the Holy Spirit? I also ask that you would give us revelation this morning how we can increase in receiving the Holy Spirit, in receiving his power, so that this hope would be overflowing and then as a natural consequence would touch the people around us, so that we would be witnesses and that we would be sharing this hope that you've been given us. Father, we are approaching Christmas. I really ask in Jesus' name that you would also make us unite in prayer with brothers and sisters, that we would be praying for our relatives, that we would be praying for friends and for colleagues at work and for other people who are maybe living close to us, who are neighbors, so that they would get into touch with you, Lord, and that they would get to know that you've not only been living on that planet Earth, but you actually rose from the dead and that you are alive. And this is why we actually celebrate your birthday. In Jesus' name, amen.